You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK. I'm Paula Gwen Grant. Today's program, we are discussing HPV, the human papilloma virus. You've heard of it. If you've been trying to understand, we have guests here to help. Dr. Melinda Miller-Thrasher and Dr. Lisa Flowers. And you, your questions are welcome at 404-880-9255, 404-880-9255, or on Twitter, you can tweet your question, if that's easier for you, at CCRTD. We're talking about HPV, human papilloma virus. I have to tell both of you doctors, you know, a lot of folks are like, HPV? Did they say HIV? And then people, we get confused because there's so many acronyms now when you know, are just online researching. You know, we go to all the medical websites. We scare ourselves because we see and we mix up a lot of information. Can you clarify for us, Dr. Flowers, would you start with what is exactly HPV and how is it different from HIV?
Absolutely. So HPV is due to a DNA virus. It's a common sexually transmitted infection. It actually, as I mentioned to you, there are about 100 types. It can infect men and women equally. Mm-hmm. And while different than HIV, which is the human immunodeficiency virus, which as we are all familiar with, is a different type of virus. And as a matter of fact, has ability to mutate. While HPV, there are all these sets of different types, 40 that affect the female-male body. Different. Because HPV causes cervical cancer, which HIV leads to a depressed immune system.
Which is what we then see as a manifestation known as AIDS.
Correct.
Okay. Now, Dr. Miller-Thrasher, we also hear this term. We don't know what is HSV. S is in Sam, right? Can you clarify what that is?
Exactly. So HSV is herpes simplex virus. Mm-hmm. There are two common types, HSV1, which is, you know, in a general sense, felt to infect above the waist, let's say cold sores of the mouth.
What we see commercials for this too.
That's
we
right
see
up.
Commercials, you know, cold sore, you just put this topical on, this gel, this whatever, and the cold sore goes away. But that is a type of herpes.
That's right. Okay. That's right. And then there's HSV2, mm-hmm. which is considered genital herpes. Mm-hmm. And so the way in which that is different is they're both sexually transmitted.
HPV and HSV. That's
right. So HPV can be associated with cervical cancers. HSV is not associated with cervical, not felt to be associated with cervical cancers.
And now we have the HPV, human papilloma virus vaccine. A question from Twitter. You can tweet us at CCRTD. The question here from Twitter is, okay, we can get the vaccine, but are there risks to the HPV vaccine? Dr. Flowers.
So the risks are really similar to what you would have with other types of vaccines, especially ones that are given to young babies, when they, mm-hmm. such as the measles, mumps, rubella. Mm-hmm. So it's redness at the site, pain at the site, mm-hmm. Fever. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that the HPV vaccine, there's a risk of syncope, which is sort of like fainting.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. And that happens a little bit more common in young girls than males.
Okay.
However, so that's what I usually have the patient get the shot, mm-hmm. sit down for about 15 minutes, make sure they have something to eat before they actually leave the office.
That makes sense.
And so those are really the more common type of symptoms. There have been talk of other risks such as
is it fatigue?
But it's more what they've been worried about as far as really some of the other particular types of risk factors. Like there's no risk of autism, which I know comes up
that
with a lot
tied
of vaccines.
To vaccines in general. There's a caution, and parents have heard. You know.
And there's also been concerned of what we call complex regional pain syndrome, mm-hmm. Which has not been at all known to be associated.
And what exactly is that quickly?
It's literally what it is that people have a pain. Right.
Just pain in that side.
Right. And point is, there's not been any increase prevalence of that problem in the vaccinated population compared to the normal population.
We have a call. This is interesting. We are talking about HPV, the human papilloma virus. You've heard of it, but did you have questions exactly on what it is and what you can do? And there is a vaccine now available, an HPV vaccine. Call with your questions now, 404-880-9255. Let's go to Barbara in Atlanta. Hello, Barbara. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening to the show, and I'm actually panicking right now. I had my pap smear completed first of the year. My doctor advised that I did test positive for the virus. Well, she didn't seem, or she didn't indicate that it was a concern, so I wasn't concerned. But now listening to you, the program, I'm concerned. I'm not real sure, because when I did have a conversation with her as to how I would have contracted the virus, she wasn't really clear. So do I need to schedule another appointment with my doctor? Is there something I need to do as far as preventative measures?
Okay.
I'm a little concerned now, right now.
We'll handle this. Barbara, we're here for you. Dr. Miller Thrasher.
So I'd like to address that. It's very common for patients. It actually mimics a discussion that I had today with a patient. I think that when you speak with your doctor initially and the diagnosis comes up, our role is not only to educate and inform, but to also provide reassurance where we feel reassurance is needed. And I think that HPV is one of those places where we have enough information, literature, about how to monitor, that we provide reassurance, sometimes at the risk of a patient feeling like it was blown off or it was dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a patient hears something different, they say, well, why wasn't I told about, you know, something else? So I would say to you that I don't think that you were misinformed. I think it was probably in the vein of just trying to reassure you that with proper monitoring and that it's something that they felt comfortable would probably not result in anything like cancer. I just think that it's important for you to continue your monitoring. I don't know your age, but...
I'm 56.
Okay.
So what do I do at this point? I mean, what do I do?
So what you would do is continue to seek counsel and get monitored by your gynecologist or your healthcare provider. If you're not seeing a gynecologist and you have something like this, you're probably best in the hands of a gynecologist to be certain that you get monitored and so that you get the proper counseling. I would tell you that a lot of people, as we get in our 50s, we start to see generalists in family practice. And I think that maybe some of the false reassurances may come in that realm. I think that as a gynecologist, we reassure, but we reassure with information and with facts. And I think that that's like me trying to tell a person with cardiac history, I think you're good, but of course I won't know all the details about how to do the most proper counseling. So I think it's important for you to make sure as a gynecologist that you're seen, make sure that you come back at the appropriate intervals based on your personal history, and if they advise or recommend any additional testing, then you know, consider it strongly, and I think that you'll be fine.
So I have one other question. I'm recently married. My husband is not circumcised. Would that have a factor or not?
No,
Dr. Flowers.
No, it doesn't have to factor, but. The issue is, prior to just getting married, did you have other partners in the past and had normal paps that also tested for HPV?
Yes, I had normal paps, yes.
Okay, so you have to understand, one of the biggest things is he might have in the past have been exposed to HPV. I've had couples like this where they've never had HPV show up on their testing. Mm-hmm. Their pap has been normal. Their HPV has been negative. Suddenly they get what a new... a partner or a husband, and they suddenly show up positive. Doesn't mean that they're cheating on you. People come with a history, and that's something you have to understand. And what's the good news is, after a while, your body will manage it, most likely it'll resolve it. My question to you, was your pap normal, even though your HPV was positive?
The pap was normal, yes.
Okay, so the way we typically manage that is we bring you back in a year for your PAP and your HPV test. And if at that time you're still positive with the virus, then you should have a procedure that's called colposcopy. All it means is that the doctor looks with a big microscope at your cervix, puts vinegar, just like Heinz vinegar, but we call it a different solution mm-hmm. in the hospital. We look for areas that are abnormal. We take a tiny biopsy. We send it off to the pathologist to look at it, and they tell us what we find. And guess what? In most cases, we do not find cancer or anything close to cancer. So the good news is we have an easy way that if you do have another repeat abnormal test, that we can find out and make sure you don't have cancer in a safe and non-traumatic fashion.
We hope that helps. Is this information good and helpful?
It really, because I'm driving, I'm like panicking. I'm like, oh my God. So I'm this has helped me tremendously.
Well, good. We're so glad. Thank you. Thank you for calling Your Health Connection. This is Your Health Connection on WCLK. Do you have questions? Are you driving along, moving along, got us on, and you're thinking HPV, human papilloma virus? I wondered what that was about. Now is the opportunity to ask two doctors your questions. Call right now, 404-880-9255, 404-880-9255. We're also on Twitter, at CCRTD. Also from Twitter, here's a question, Dr. Melinda Miller-Thrasher, Dr. Lisa Flowers. From Twitter, we have a question talking about denial. Both of you have spoken to treating couples, talking to couples, trying to get folks to understand that, you know, before you were a couple, there was a history. You both are bringing your histories to the relationship. Dr. Miller-Thrasher, how do you cope with the denial that often shows up at that first conversation where it's like, well, it's not me. All I know is I was fine before this. And folks are in denial, don't want to accept that they have HPV or what they need to do about it. How do you cope with that? How would you help us cope with that?
I have a discussion with my patients, and I try to have this discussion from the time I initially start seeing them, is that the best way to prevent having to even deal with denial is to have both parties tested prior to engaging in a sexual relationship. Mm-hmm. If that is done, then defense mechanisms are out the window, denial is out the window. You can have an open, transparent discussion. No one feels deceived.
Right.
It is so simple. Unfortunately, it's not done in a large number of cases. And then you have the hard conversation of denial. And unfortunately,
blame.
People try to place blame. And I think that Dr. Flowers hit it on the head. Unless you have never been sexually active, which most people, well, at some point you were, but in most relationships as you get older, you're going to be with other people who also had other partners.
Right.
So you should really make sure that you approach it without blame. You should really take the information in, see the best way for you to manage it.
And go from there as a couple.
Go from there, exactly.
We're talking about HPV, the human papilloma virus, Dr. Melinda Miller-Thrasher and Dr. Lisa Flowers. Dr. Flowers, did you have more to add?
Yeah, and one of the things I think is really important, I love that she said, I always tell my patients, when you're about to start a new sexual relationship with someone, make sure you get all the tests. Now, the challenge is that HPV, we can't test it in men. We can do it in research, but not typically do we have a test. We would have to scrape their scrotum. We would have to stick something down.
And most men aren't going for that,
Dr.
Flowers.
For that.
I'm
they're
just
not,
telling you now.
And even doing all of those things, we won't capture it all.
Okay.
So, but I like the fact she stressed that because guess what? You'll find out if they have HIV.
You'll
find out if they have gonorrhea, chlamydia, and it'll make people aware. And then I bring in the couples in to my office and I said, look, there's no blame here. Just as was well said, there's no blame here.
There's no blame. We're taking your questions about HPV at 404-880-9255. We're going to go to Decatur and talk to Carla. Carla, turn down your radio and go ahead with your question.
Yes. Hi, doctor. I was concerned about the sister who spoke a few minutes ago about her husband being uncircumcised. Are there tests, and I think you kind of answered it a minute ago, for men that could detect some of these viruses as well?
Thank you, Carla. That's a great question.
I'm sorry. And I'm thinking, why should we continue to be monitored and they're not? Because if there is a problem with the males, we're getting it back and forth.
Great point. Dr. Miller-Thrasher.
So when it comes to HPV, well, I would say that what you're saying is, it's a great question. What you're saying is true for a number of different sexually transmitted infections. You can get it back and forth. So that's why it is important to have the test early in the relationship. It's important that when you have certain STDs, such as chlamydia, gonorrhea, that we do what we call a test of cure, and that we tell you to make certain your partner is treated before you engage in sexual relations again. And we do that so we can prevent the ping pong effect, as we call it. But as Dr. Flower stated, for HPV, we do not have reliable testing available for men. So the best thing we can do is now, in addition to women being candidates for the Gardasil, which is the HPV vaccine, this is important for you to know that men and boys are also candidates. More importantly, we as a society have a predilection toward making sure our girls are tested and treated, and we tend to not have the boys go to get treated and then for them not to go to the doctors. And I think we have to change the culture so that from an early age, when you take your young lady to the gynecologist, your young man should be seen as well, because just as she is going to embark on sexual relations, so is he. So your point is well taken. Why treat the goose and not the gander, or vice versa?
Yes, I think that's so important. And also you establish in the young boys the fact that they need to go to the doctor over their lifetime. Because in general, we train our girls that, listen, you need to go to the doctor to stay healthy. And then, you know, we talk to men who don't go, but once in a blue moon, only when something is just incredibly wrong. So it's super important. Thank you so much for calling in. This is Your Health Connection. We are talking about HPV, the human papilloma virus. We want your questions. Call us now at 404-880-9255. 404-880-9255 to connect with us at Your Health Connection. Did you know that some risk factors for prostate cancer include age, race and ethnicity, family history, diet, and lack of exercise? These risk factors are not only unique to prostate cancer, but are also relevant to other health disparities that impact a person's overall health and wellness. Let's make health and wellness a family affair by developing benchmarks for routine health screenings on birthdays and anniversaries. Men over the age of 40 should get screened for prostate cancer annually, including both the digital rectal exam and PSA blood test. Get screened for prostate cancer today and make health and wellness a family affair. This announcement, in the public interest, is made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. More information is available online at ccrtd.cau.edu.